I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're going to be given the keys to the kingdom. This is full authority to make basketball decisions. This is the number one job. John will be around. We all know how much the Reinsdorfs like and value him. But, you know, John's not going to be hovering. That's not who John is. You guys know John. He wants what's best for the Bulls. He will not be hovering. So this person, whoever they hire, will be allowed to bring in additional staff, is my understanding. So they're going to be able to build out this infrastructure the way he sees fit. So I think this is a really good job, and that's why it's critical the Bulls get this hire right.
That's Casey Johnson on The Score earlier this morning. Casey Johnson of Comcast Sportsnet Chicago was on with the Mulligan Haw Show talking about what's now official, that the Bulls are searching for someone to lead their basketball operations. One of the candidates is Toronto Raptors general manager, young Bobby Webster. And he was profiled in The Athletic Canada by their senior writer and head of features, Dan Robson, who is on Twitter at RobsonDan and who joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dan, I absolutely loved reading that long form feature. And you, if you were trying to persuade me to want him to run the Bulls, it was a success, because I finished that thing and thinking they have to get this guy, because he really does seem to be a one of a kind intellect.
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Dan. I appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of Raptors fans in Toronto will be disappointed in me if that's the case.
Why so? How well do Raptors fans know him?
Well, actually, to be fair, it's almost been something they've learned since the team won the title last spring. It wasn't that Bobby was someone who was really well known amongst mainstream fans. The feature that I worked on was the first time he's really opened up and told his story. He's very behind the scenes. He doesn't like to put a lot out there about his personal life, and actually his wife had kind of made him do the story and cooperate to be part of it, because, you know, she kind of wanted him to get out there and put his story out there, and sort of this remarkable rise that he had since he became a Orlando Magic intern years ago to becoming a general manager, an NBA champion general manager a decade later. So I think the reason that people in Toronto are now starting to realize how important Bobby was to the infrastructure of what was happening in the Raptors for the last few years, because the Raptors themselves have sort of been putting it out there more and giving him a lot more credit.
There were so many parallels to Theo Epstein of the Cubs, not just because of his youth, but his desire to know things, just in general. I mean, just outside of basketball, too, the whole history of genuine intellectual curiosity, that there's a spark there. There's a certain kind of intelligence there beyond basketball that I find intriguing, that he always, no matter what it was, I think you said he was studying economics in Spanish in Spain, had a, you know, low-level CIA security clearance at one point. There's always a next thing that he seems to genuinely want to know. And it's not a show. He's not trying to impress people by doing it. He's not trying to be just some sort of dilettante. It really does seem that intellectual curiosity comes from a real place. And I find it compelling.
So I think that's his most important characteristic. I think if you can take anything from what I learned about Bobby and chatting with him, it was that every step he's taken along this way, as you mentioned, he's been looking to what the next step was and has been figuring out what he needed to know to get to that next step. So, he had a low-level CIA clearance for a while before he decided that he was going to try and take a run in the NBA through an internship with the Orlando Magic. But while he was there, they have a massive internship program with the Orlando Magic. And he set himself apart by just being the kind of guy who always asked questions, but then always had added value to give. So he was looking for ways that he could continue to contribute. He did that at the NBA's head office, where he came in and was working in the cap department, and then ended up becoming their head capologist and was part of the 2011 lockout and was part of sort of creating the new CBA. And what was interesting about that is he's also been very careful about the decisions he made. So back before he joined the Raptors, before he left the league office, Masai Ujiri, when he was general manager of the Denver Nuggets, actually offered him a job back then, and Bobby turned it down. He said he realized what was coming up with the CBA and realized that his value would be much bigger if he stuck around and was part of those negotiations, was on the inside of that deal. And so when he came out on the other side, he gained that skill set that made him so much more valuable to teams.
The Raptors have been so good at not just drafting well, but developing. And the NBA is learning how important that is, that you can take whatever raw materials you can find, and there are scouts that can look at a guy's speed and shooting ability, et cetera, and know how good he is right now. But it's a matter of seeing what a player can be in a realistic way. How have they gone about that, and how has he been involved in the development mechanism that has helped create these sort of redundant systems with the Raptors that can withstand even the loss of a great player like Kawhi Leonard?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, when Bobby finally decided to come to the Raptors back in 2013, when Masai took the job and was sort of the head guy running all of everything and was bringing in the people that he had wanted, he'd interacted with, one of the stipulations Bobby had made back then was that he wanted to he came in as an expert on the cap. He wanted to come in and learn everything else. He wanted to be involved in coaching and in scouting and all these different areas. So one of the key things he wanted was the ability to learn in that area. And then one of the things he spearheaded was the development of Toronto's G League team, the Raptors 905, which is just about half an hour outside of Toronto. Bobby was a huge factor in creating that team, getting the resources from the Raptors, from MLSE to have that team, but then also and getting the NBA to allow it, but then also in getting players coming through that and seeing the value in developing players. So players like Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Norman Powell, all these guys who ended up being key players in the NBA in the NBA title last year, but also in what's happened this year before the stoppage in play. What had happened with the Raptors having a continued success that most people didn't expect. Those seeds were all planted several years ago.
Talking with Dan Robson of The Athletic Canada, who profiled Raptors general manager Bobby Webster for The Athletic. Bobby Webster, who now is a candidate for the Bulls job. And on the personal side, too, the fact that this was a kid who grew up in Hawaii, a pretty decent basketball player in his own right, a college-level player, a high school star, hit a game-winning shot in the semifinals at one point, pretty famously. And his dad's from Chicago. You said he literally grew up with a Michael Jordan poster in his bedroom. I think you said Ryan Sandberg and Michael Jordan as the little details in there. How much do you think that matters? How much do you think there is still a childhood allure of the Bulls job for him as opposed to just Team X?
I mean, I think there's no doubt there that connection is important to Bobby. I mean, and he's obviously very close to his father. He grew up watching Chicago sports in Hawaii because his dad, as you mentioned, had moved there and married his mom. They lived in Hawaii, but his connection to sport growing up was through Chicago sports teams. You know, Michael Jordan, Ryan Sandberg, as you mentioned. Bobby, although I would say Bobby's also very careful. So, I mean, he would put what the best decision in terms of his career over sort of a nostalgic factor or a connection to a city. So while I'm sure his father might be on the phone or texting him saying, hey, that's a pretty good looking gig, I think that will definitely be something that would factor into what Bobby's considering. Also Chicago being a world-class city, all of those things, I think Bobby will be thinking about the prestige of the Bulls, frankly. And I think that that's something that will factor in a decision that will be very calculated in terms of what happens if the position is offered to him. I know in speaking with him that he would want to be in a situation where he had complete control. This is something that Masai Ujiri had in Toronto, and it's something that, as he's been mentored, he's learned the importance of being able to have a vision that's carried through each level of a franchise. And I think that is that more than anything will be one of the key factors for any decision that Bobby's has the opportunity to make.
This obviously was a big project for you and involved hours of interviews and certainly some tremendous access. How much about him did you know going in, and how much about him did you learn while doing this?
I knew absolutely nothing about him going in. In Toronto, it was interesting because he'd always been behind the scenes, and Masai Ujiri is such a force, and he's so beloved in the city and for what he does with the Raptors, but also just what he does socially, and he's a very big figure. And so everybody looks at Masai, and you know, and he, and rightfully, view him as the architect, the guy who brought this team together and brought Toronto its first championship in years. So Bobby, also not being the kind of guy who seeks the spotlight, really settled into that role of kind of being the invisible person behind the scenes. So I knew him as sort of the dapper young guy that you'd see, that people would talk to you, but it was always Masai that was up front. So when I got to chat with him, we met before training camp. Actually, I met him in his office when the Raptors were scrimmaging and went for lunch a few times. And over the course of a couple of months, as I interviewed him again and again and got to know him, I really kind of got a sense of a guy who, as you mentioned before, is just so inquisitive, but also quite humble, which I think is a rare quality in that kind of a position. He looks for the best people and to have around to mentor him. And I think that that's something that's constantly been his strength. And to be in the position he is, and he's 36 years old, I was fascinated by him because we're the same age. And, you know, I'm sitting here writing about sports and he's running a franchise. So for me, it was just a real interesting exercise in trying to understand what it took to get to that point, to get from Hawaii, to get to, to go to the CIA and then through all these levels of the NBA in such a short period of time. And I found that, you know, I do think that as Masai told me himself and as the Raptors' former GM, Jeff Weltman, told me, eventually Bobby's going to be running his own team. He's going to be president of the franchise. Anybody that knows him knows that's going to be the case. Whether that happens now or in the future remains to be seen.
Something else that stands out to me, Dan, if I'm hiring, especially if I'm somebody like Michael Reinsdorf, who isn't one of these deeply interconnected longtime NBA guys, is the amount of institutional knowledge that he has. As you mentioned, having worked for the NBA league office, I think people should know that Bobby Webster, as a kid, he invented the amnesty provision that we talked about for so long, you know, the arguing over who the Bulls should amnesty and how they can get out. That was his idea. He's come up with a lot of the language of the cap, a lot of contract language that we just now take for granted. He knows so many people. He was connected to so many NBA people who've gone on to work for other franchises. He's kind of one of those, like if you graph something on LinkedIn and you see these nodes, he's one of the nodes. And that's the kind of person you want to have hiring power, where he, I'm sure in his head, he can sit in an interview and say, I know who my director of scouting is going to be. I know who my capologist is going to be. That's reassuring for me to know how well-connected and frankly, well-liked he seems to be.
Well, it's interesting. When I was making calls for this story, you're never really sure what you're going to get because it was sort of this first time anyone had really done a big feature on Bobby. And the people that called me back and that were interested in talking to me about him for, you know, not just the quick 10-minute interview or something that was sort of, candid and not really revealing, that would talk to me for about an hour. Even people in the NBA's head office who never really speak much. I thought that was very revealing. Part of the reason this story has so much access is because people gave it to me because they had things to say about Bobby. And I think that is also one of the skills that he's managed to have since he became an intern and was going to the NBA head office. I mean, at that time, he was volunteering to go to NBA All-Star games to take players around. Staff from the head office would go and do that because they needed more people. He'd go to the NBA Combine. He'd be doing these things to make contacts with scouts. He'd be talking with other general managers, other officials that he knew from different teams, other executives, sorry. And he would he'd create this web of contacts, and he does. I mean, as you mentioned, he if he were to go into this position, I have no doubt that he would know who the first people he'd call for each position would be.
It was really good stuff. I think that was as complete a look at any candidate as any Bulls fan is going to have, and I urge them to read it at the Athletic. I know it's in my Twitter feed as well, and you can follow our guest, Dan Robson, at RobsonDan on Twitter. Dan, this is great. We really appreciate you taking the time. Stay healthy.
You too. Thank you.
That is Dan Robson of The Athletic.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.